Hello and welcome back to the Building HVAC Science Podcast, where we're doing our work here to create better, more knowledgeable HVAC and building performance technicians, helping these two professions better understand each other with the ultimate goal of making customers happy in the homes they live in and the buildings they work in. In today's podcast, Eric and I welcome Victor Hyman. He's the Executive Director of Climate Care Cooperative, an Ontario-based HVACR contractors cooperative focused on residential services. Victor explains to us that Climate Care has been operational since 1992, and he's been executive director now for 3.5 years. He highlights how unique a contractors cooperative is in detailing how it allows companies that are members of the cooperative to share best practices, training, and financial benefits. And he likens the structure to a franchise system that is democratically controlled by its members. Victor then gets into discussing the role of climate care in Ontario's HVAC sector, addressing the challenges and opportunities presented by the Canadian federal government's push for decarbonization and the promotion of heat pump technology through financial incentives, such as the Greener Homes Initiative. He explains the regional focus of the cooperative's members, member companies in Ontario, emphasizing the province's clean energy grid and the impact of climate policies on HVAC practices and the adoption of heat pumps over traditional air conditioners. Victor also sheds light on the practical challenges faced by HVAC contractors, such as educating homeowners about energy efficiency and navigating government rebate programs. Boy, isn't that the truth. That is really the challenge. Education, education, education. The conversation then shifts to the strategies employed by Climate Care to communicate with customers and train members in understanding and addressing homeowners' needs effectively. And that's how I first met Victor, when I saw him present on this topic about communicating with customers. He emphasizes the importance of preparing homeowners for equipment upgrades and promoting maintenance plans to ensure efficient and timely HVAC solutions. Again, level setting expectations is so important. He also touches on the significance of leveraging utility data for accurate heat load calculations and the benefits of third-party endorsements in encouraging homeowners to adopt greener technologies. We wrap up the podcast with Victor sharing insights on the importance of understanding customer motivations and focusing on delivering comfort and cost savings, reinforcing the role of HVAC contractors as trusted advisors in the transition towards more sustainable home heating solutions. We've got links to Victor's LinkedIn and the Climate Care Cooperative in the show notes. Let's get into the conversation and learn more from Victor Hyman about comfort, co-ops, and climate care, revolutionizing HVAC in Ontario.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Building HVAC Science Podcast. I'm your co-host, Eric Kaiser. With me virtually today, co-host Bill Spohn. And today we have a special guest in the room, Mr. Victor Hyman. Victor, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, thank you, Eric and Bill. My name is Victor Hyman. I'm the Executive Director of Climate Care Cooperative. We're a co-op of HVAC contractors in Ontario, Canada, focused on the residential service maintenance and retrofit space. And we've been around since 1992. I've been in this seat as Executive Director coming on 3.5 years. It was August 2020 that I joined Climate Care.
Victor, good to see you again. You did an interview for Duckling earlier in the year for as part of our electrification survey. That was great to get those insights. And that's why basically you're on the podcast, is because you said some really interesting things, some provocative things. One of the things I was wondering is, I've never heard of a contractor co-op before. Is that something unique? Is it more common in Canada? Tell us a little bit.
That's a great question. I often joke that nobody has any idea. In some ways, being a co-op, I think, creates more confusion than it's worth, because I have to explain to people what a co-op is.
Okay, so start.
So I'll start with that. A co-op is basically an opportunity for a bunch of companies to get together and share best practices and training and financial benefits. We have a buying group as part of the co-op. So what happens is each member company owns a share of the co-op. We are a democratic organization. So we have a board, we have committees, and we have a general membership. And the members get to vote on things, and the committees work on issues like training issues and purchasing issues. And the board ultimately makes the final decisions. So I often liken it to a franchise, where the franchisor is owned by the franchisees. So you've got, in our case, 30 companies that are the shareholders of the cooperative corporation. And ultimately, they are our boss. They set the direction where we go, and we're very much a members first organization. The joke is that we say we're Canada's largest cooperative of HVAC contractors. I think that we may be Canada's only cooperative of HVAC contractors.
So anyone listening, that's a life hack if you want to get ahead. Do something totally unique, then you can be the first and the only.
Exactly. So it sounds good. Canada's largest cooperative, Canada's only cooperative of HVAC contractors. Yeah.
Very interesting. What are some of the trends that you see since you have such a large demographic? Are they all regional, by the way?
So we're all in Ontario. Ontario is a province of 14 million people, for the most part, north of New York and Ohio. So it's a big populous province. Most of our population is close to the U.S. border. So Ottawa was a pretty large city, a little bit north, northeast. And then basically we follow the contour of Lake Ontario. That's where the population is. And then Lake Erie down towards Detroit. So most of the population of Ontario is kind of in this band within 100 miles of the U.S. border. And so that means that our climate in that area is actually in many ways no worse than northern New York State. We don't get as much snow in most places, places like Buffalo and Rochester. And then there's a population north of Toronto, Toronto being the largest city. The Toronto area, the Golden Horseshoe, is about 5 million, 6 million people. So half the province is really in this really tight band in the south, ASHRAE Region 5. So people think we live in igloos. That's the folks up in the far north. Our 30 member companies, we range in size. I'll speak in Canadian dollars. Apologize for those. It's almost as confusing as metric. But our member companies, on average, are about $2.5, $3 million of revenue. That translates to usually 10 to 20 employees. Some are bigger. We have our biggest one would probably be more like 60 employees. But again, that residential focus, and from basically Windsor, which is sister city to Detroit on one end, across to Ottawa, and then we have a couple of members up a little bit further north.
Any common challenges that you're facing across the network there?
I think the big thing that's happened in the last couple of years has been a push by our federal government. So Canada, for those who aren't quite sure how our political system works here, we have a federal government and we have provincial government. So not unlike the federal government in the States and state. And so sometimes they bump heads like they do in the States. The federal government is on a big decarbonization push, very much wants to get us to net zero 2030 in new construction, net zero 2050 in all buildings. Very ambitious for a country that is heating dominated. And the bulk of our greenhouse gas emissions in the building sector, certainly for space heating. So that's a real challenge. Now, what's interesting is that Ontario has incredibly clean electricity because our base load is almost all nuclear and hydro. We've got Niagara Falls and other river run hydro, and we have a big investment in nuclear reactors. So on any given day, 50, 60% of our base load, or almost 100% of the base load, but 50% of our total generated power is nuclear, and they've added some wind. So in Ontario, we've got this incredibly clean grid. We don't actually have any natural gas. Our natural gas actually, ironically, comes from Western Canada down into the States and then back up through Pennsylvania and Ohio. And so we actually, what we burn in Ontario actually tends to be a lot of frack gas. People don't realize that. They think we're getting it from Alberta, but the Alberta gas goes south. So Ontario has this great electrification opportunity. The feds very much want the entire country to electrify and electrify space heating. They put in place a program called the Greener Homes Initiative in 2020. And it took a good year and a half for the supply chain to ramp up and be able to support that. And they were giving away pretty significant amounts of money. So in Ontario, you can get $5,000 for an air source heat pump that qualifies. It's a little bit more than Energy Star. So it has to be inverter driven, cold climate air source, basically meeting the NEEP requirements for the Northeast Energy Partnership, plus a little tweak because we're in climate zone 5. And then they actually forced the gas company up here, Enbridge, to tack on a little bit more under their demand side management program. So you could get $6,500 if you were a gas customer in Ontario towards a heat pump. And this program was supposed to run for 7 years. 700,000 homes or $2.6 billion federally when it started in 2020. And like I said, it took a little bit of time to ramp up. But man, oh man, we sold a ton of heat pumps in 2023 for the first time. We sold more heat pumps than we did air conditioners. It was an incredible boon, but it brought out a couple of things. One, it brought out a whole bunch of what we call trunk slammers. Probably called them the same thing down there. Guys with taillight warranties that chased the rebates. And all of a sudden you had people saying, get a free heat pump. And the program caught a lot of tailwind. And they announced that there was going to be a pause in the program. They announced this pause and they said that the program is going to change. So they stopped accepting new applicants to the program because they believe that it's almost fully subscribed. Although the numbers don't quite support that, but that's what they're saying. And so now we've got this really interesting situation where the Minister of Energy, who's responsible for this program, said, we're going to pause this, but there's going to be a new program that's going to come out in the next federal budget, which is March, April time. So now we've got people sitting on their hands because it could be that the program will come back. I just missed getting $6,500. Why would I buy a heat pump now if there's the possibility that it's going to come back? Now, all of a sudden, our tailwind turned into a massive headwind.
With all that and the rapid acceleration towards more and more heat pumps, what kind of attention is being paid to the envelope? To the home performance, the total home.
That's a great point. So the program, the Greener Homes Initiative, does incentivize envelope upgrades. You can get upgrades for insulation, both attic insulation, which is in most cases pretty easy to do, for foundation insulation, for upgraded windows, upgraded doors. So there's a fenestration piece, there's an insulation piece, and there's a space heating piece. Plus, if you go to a heat pump water heater, you can also get money for heat pump water heater. So the program is really good, and there's actually more money than that $6,500 that's available for just a heat pump. You have to start with an energy audit. So energy auditor has to come out. They'll do a blower door test. They model it in Natural Resources Canada's modeling software called HOT 2000. Which I think is a little bit, it errs on the side of higher loads than actually exist, which creates other issues. But then the energy auditor basically says, if you do the envelope upgrades, you can expect to save this much energy. If you do the heat pump, you can expect to save this much energy. And that's been part of the program. You had to start with that. They actually provide a rebate against that, against some of that cost. The other big piece, so you can get rebates in Ontario if you're a gas customer of up to $10,000. Towards all of these upgrades. Plus, they made a 10-year interest-free loan available through the Canadian Mortgage and Housing Corporation. That's our equivalent of Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac. That's up to $40,000. If you did everything, you could get, in Ontario, if you're a gas customer, you can get up to $10,000 in rebates and $40,000 for the balance on an interest-free 10-year loan. So given what interest rates are right now, that's a huge savings. And you could do a geothermal. So we've got customers. For that kind of money, I'll do a geo system or I'll do those envelope upgrades.
In that kind of a climate, what's your design temperature like with regards to putting in air source heat pumps?
Yeah, that's where it's been really interesting. So in southern Ontario, which is where Toronto is, Toronto's design temperature is 0 Fahrenheit. Most of southern Ontario, the design temperature isn't below -5 Fahrenheit. If we go into northern Ontario, you get into designs that are -10 Fahrenheit below. But it's, again, the population there starts to shrink as the design temperature shrinks. So the vast majority of our population in Ontario is in places where air source heat pumps, modern inverter-driven cold climate air source heat pumps that meet this program, are generating either 100% or close to 100% of output at our design temperatures, which has been an interesting challenge because people who remember regular unitary heat pumps, air source heat pumps from even 10 years ago, like, well, it doesn't work below 0 Celsius, 32 Fahrenheit. And so trying to explain to people, no, they work just fine now below that temperature. That's been an interesting challenge. I try to not read the comment section on news stories that I post. You know, I see a news story in the Toronto Star or on CBC or something. And it's like, okay, the story did a really good job. Maybe I was even interviewed for it, discussing the ins and outs. And then I read the comments like, oh gosh, we have so much work to do. So
sometimes it's painful, but
it is.
When contractors are putting in these heat pumps or looking at this program, And you mentioned one of the first things going on this program is bringing out a blower door, doing a leakage test on a house. Are they looking at just upgrades on the house or just heat pumps, or are they working the two together to where if we do some upgrades on the house, now we can really dial in a heat pump, maybe even downsize it compared to what we had before and get the customer greater comfort?
Eric, I wish I could say that that was happening every time. That was certainly, I think, what the designers of the program at Enercan were hoping would happen. The reality is that because we're in a heating-dominated market, what ends up happening is most people don't think about their equipment until it breaks. And when it breaks, it is usually the middle of the night in December or January, February, and the pressure is on to get the heat turned back on. So what ended up happening with this program, which was, I think, wholly predictable, was that we go out, yes, you've got a 15-year-old furnace with a cracked heat exchanger. You need to make a decision here. We can get the energy auditor in tomorrow. We'll put on some backup heat in the meantime. And they come out before the auditor is even done. The conversation has been, okay, let's put in a heat pump or let's put in a dual fuel or hybrid system. It's a real shame, but that I think happens more times than not. And most of what's happened in this program have been heat pump retrofits that have been driven by emergency replacements, no heat replacements. We really are trying to pull customers into the shoulder seasons and say, listen, if you've got a piece of equipment that's more than 10 years old, it's out of manufacturer's warranty, start thinking about the replacement and let's plan ahead and do this in the shoulder seasons when you can do that blower door test and we've got time to work. But I don't have to tell you, like, HVAC is not the sexiest business. We're not granite countertops and the body spray showers, right? So people only think about us when they're freezing cold or boiling hot. And we're not a want, we're a need, and people don't like to spend money on needs. So a lot of procrastination. And that's what's happened now, actually. When the rebate got paused, it made news. And now people are calling and saying, can I still get this? And it's like, oh, you just procrastinated and missed out on the $6,500, but it's still worth doing. Yeah, but the government said maybe they're going to bring it back. Yeah, but maybe the government's going to lose the next election. The whole thing will go away. Like, maybe you should take action now anyway, because it's the right thing to do. So. Yeah, it's complicated.
I've often wondered, and I've never really seen anybody promote things in this way, is to go into a customer's house, do, say, an energy audit, whatever you need to do. And we know from history and we know from reality that mechanical objects do fail. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And I often wonder why contractors don't go in and just have a plan, work with their customer and say, okay, we come in here, we do the audit, we figure out what you need so that when it breaks down at midnight, we don't have to rush to make a plan. We already have a plan made in advance, and they could even transfer that plan. You know, if they're going to sell the house, they can transfer that plan onto the future owners. Say, here's a plan already in place for this house to replace the equipment. All we have to do is say, it's broke, we want a new one. And at that point, the contractor just has to select equipment because they already know what the house is like.
You're 100% correct. And we've been pushing this for the last year and a half. So what we've been suggesting is our business is really a maintenance and service business, and we do equipment retrofits. So we've been pushing our maintenance customers, we call it our We Care plan. When we're out doing maintenance, looking at the equipment and saying exactly at that point, you've got a 10-year-old, 12-year-old, 15-year-old piece of equipment here. It's working fine. It's working fine. But now is the time to start thinking about the future. And this program exists that you can go and get an energy auditor to come in and do this assessment for you. And we can build you a quote. You don't have to do it today, but this is what the opportunity is if you want to go ahead and do that. And you can take advantage of this time because it's not the middle of the night in February and freezing cold, although it'll be 12 degrees Celsius today, February 10th in Toronto. A little bit weird.
That's pretty warm for this time of the year.
Pretty warm. I call this going out of business weather for the retrofit contractor. But yeah, we want to get them to think ahead and do those envelope upgrades. And so when we size that heat pump, we can say, let's size this heat pump, not for what the house looks like today, but if we know you're going to do insulation, we know you're going to do windows, you're going to do some air sealing, that we can go maybe half a ton smaller. Then we don't have to do the same electrical upgrades we would have to do. And you'll cover more of your heating degree days on the heat pump. I think what's happened, though, in most cases, in all honesty, is we do the heat pump, and the limiting factor is going to be in many cases, the duct, the existing duct work. And if we're doing a hybrid system, which has been the most popular, so it's a gas furnace and an air source heat pump, we're trying not to oversize too much because we don't want to screw up the dehumidification in the summer. So we're really trying to look at what's that, the sensible latent ratio, and what's their cooling load, because we don't want to create new and interesting problems. And then if they do that air sealing, if they do the insulation work, that heat pump is just going to cover more of their heating degree days. And so we can do the heat pump first, they can do the envelope upgrades after. That tends to be what's happening, I hope. That's the angle that we're trying to encourage people when they're having to do a upgrade in the middle of winter.
How do you communicate this to customers? You talked about the sharing aspect, so I imagine you must have some group speak that you use that's refined and become successful. Can you share some of that?
Sure. Yeah. We do a number of weekly training calls with our members. So we do one on Friday mornings, 7:30 in the morning with technicians. We have one for owners, one for our comfort advisors, and one for our CSRs and admin teams. And it's about helping them understand how the whole thing works together holistically. When the technician is going into the home, we want them to have that conversation with the homeowner. By the way, did you know that this program exists? We're in their home every year doing maintenance. We're looking at that equipment. We want to make sure they understand there's an opportunity to do those upgrades. And we don't want to be in a situation where a customer comes back to us in 5 years and says, why did you sell me an air conditioner? If I'd gotten a heat pump, I'd be in a much better situation. So really, it's been about making sure the technicians understand, yes, your job is to maintain and fix things, but you're the trusted advisor. Make sure your customer understands what the opportunities are here for them moving forward. We obviously need to align our inside teams, make sure that the CSRs know when the customer's calling in the questions to ask. So you don't have any heat. Are you a weak air customer? Are you a customer that we've been out to do maintenance for? Do you understand how we work? And do you understand the programs that exist? Making sure they set the table correctly. And then for the comfort advisors, it's really, again, a longer sales cycle since Greener Homes has come around. It's not a one and done. In many cases, aside from getting multiple quotes, we're quoting multiple options. So I was looking at three quotes for a customer that was three different brands of all electric. So they wanted to go with a full air source system. And we provided three quotes just for that one option. We also provided a hybrid option. They're on propane. It was more of a no-brainer to get off the propane and go all electric. But that's a much longer, more intensive quoting and back and forth and helping them understand utility, utilization, what is it going to do to their monthly bill. So we avoid surprises and they avoid surprises. And of course, we don't want to overpromise. So that's part of the communication also. Your results may vary. If you like to sleep with the window open, it may be different than what the model says, right?
Yeah, it's a challenge that I come up with some of these models that I see, or even like load calculations, right? They give us a hard number and then plus or minus. I've always wondered, why don't we just give a range in there and say it's going to be somewhere in this range instead of this hard number and then plus or minus maybe something or other?
I really like doing actually a calculation based on utility utilization. I think that the HOT 2000 software, like Manual J, I think it overestimates the heat loss in many cases and leads us to put in equipment that's oversized. When we look at historic data, we know, especially if the customer's been in the home and they've been using the house that way for a while, if you give me 2 years of your gas use and your electricity consumption, and then we plot that against the heating degree days and what the existing equipment is, I feel like that in many cases gets us a better result and often is a lower load than what the model says. And this case that I was mentioning where we quoted three different air source heat pumps, the model, the HOT 2000 model, said that the load was over 90,000 BTU. When I took their propane data and worked based on their location, heating degree days, their load came out at 54,000 BTU. So code allows you to oversize by 40%. So I just see that over and over again, that we have 80,000, 100,000 BTU furnaces. I did it in my own house. I've got a 80,000 two-stage. I disabled second stage. And last year, we actually hit design temperature. We went actually below design. It was minus 23 degrees Celsius in Toronto for 18 hours. And I was running on first stage, 50,000 BTU, no problem. Didn't lose any temperature. My HOT 2000 model from my energy advisor came in at 75,000 BTU. It's impossible. it's impossible. You're oversized by at least 40%. So when we're making the recommendation to the homeowner, that can go from we don't have an air source heat pump that's big enough to we're going to actually downsize it because we don't need to put in a 4-ton system. We'll put in a 3.5-ton and give you some auxiliary.
And I hear this a lot, that the calculations we have end up oversizing heating. What do you think the solution is to that?
Like I said, I mean, I'd like to see a check against utility data, and modulating heat pumps help a little bit. But one of the challenges we run into is that you have to look and see what is the full modulation range of the heat pump. Because if we say, well, I'm not going to be too concerned, I'm putting in a modulating heat pump, it'll turn down. But what is it going to be at 32 degrees Fahrenheit? What's the output of that heat pump? Is it going to start to short cycle because we've oversized it and we're going to run into defrost issues? So I think there's these multiple challenges start to appear when we're trying to maximize the heat output. But I think that we really have to look at the actual, how has the house run? We're big fans of Ecobee, Canadian company based in Toronto. And there's a great plugin called bstat.io, which is a free app online that'll give you a deeper dive into your Ecobee data. And so it's really helpful because it will help plot out what the balance point is. Because once you know the balance point, the thermal balance point for heating, you know your design temperature, that's a pretty straight line now, and you know what the output of the furnace is. What I like to do is look and say, okay, what day were we at design? And how many hours did the furnace run on the day we were at design? And so if the furnace is a 100,000 BTU furnace, it's only running 50% of the time at design, then I know that we're not more than 50,000 BTU heat loss, right? So I think we need to gut check some of the, when we're doing that manual J or we're doing a hot 2000, got to gut check it, because if it doesn't sound right, we're going to run into bigger problems. We have this on the gas heating side where we destroy heat exchangers by short cycling the equipment and creating all kinds of comfort issues. So I think that we need to be really conscious of this as we move to heat pumps, or we're going to run into new and more expensive problems.
And then more unhappy customers, which is what we don't want. If we're doing this, we may as well keep some happy customers while we're at it.
I think this is a huge piece. And this was part of the presentation that I showed Bill, trying to educate our comfort advisors around what's motivating the customer. At the end of the day, I think the vast, vast majority of people are interested in a comfortable home at the lowest cost. So first cost, utility cost, I want it to be as little as possible because nobody's going to be looking at my heat pump going, that thing's really sexy. The Tesla's parked in the driveway and the heat pump's in the backyard. So nobody's going to see it. We don't get bragging rights on it in most cases. People just want to be comfortable at the lowest possible cost. If we screw up their comfort, then all is lost, because we will be back in the situation of heat pumps don't work. It's noisy. It's always in defrost. The temperature swings. Those are all things we need to avoid. What we want is people to come away and said, I had a gas furnace. My house was never comfortable. I put a heat pump that's right size. And wouldn't you know, thing runs almost all the time and it's just super comfortable in here. I don't even notice it running. That would be ideal. And that's what we need to shoot for. So I think making sure that our comfort advisors, when they're going into the home, they understand, and we try to qualify this when the phone rings and the CSR answers the phone, are you chasing that rebate? Are you just interested in getting the government cheese? Because you're about to get in, it's a trap. We're all going to get stung here by the mouse trap that's going to close on us. Are you really driven by that environmentalist, I want to decarbonize at all cost? And you're going to take advantage of the money that's available to do that deep retrofit and get your heat loss down so you can run on the heat pump 100% of the time and the house will be more comfortable? Or are you somewhere in between? Are you the pragmatist? Are you saying, you know what? If there's rebates available, I've got an older piece of equipment. I want to hedge against the cost of natural gas and in Canada, the carbon tax. This sounds like a good idea. Tell me more. And that's the sweet spot for us. It's that customer that's open-minded. They've heard something. They want to know more. And they're willing to and interested to have that conversation.
Speaking of knowing more, if someone wants to know more after listening to this, what resources, links do you suggest?
Yeah, there's some really, aside from climatecare.com, of course.
Of course. I want to make sure you mention that. Yeah.
There's a couple of really good ones in Canada. I think that they have done a really good job. So one is the Canadian Climate Institute. And the Canadian Climate Institute has a heat pump calculator and a whole bunch of information about cost of operation and ownership and they've done a really good job. So that would be one place I would say to go. The next is a quasi non-governmental organization, Toronto and Region Conservation Authority, TRCA. They've done a really good job. They've got a thing called the Sustainable Technologies Evaluation Program. And they were really leading on this in terms of looking at hybrid systems, dual fuel in Toronto and the surrounding area and saying, how do we help people decarbonize economically? They've done a great job. So that's, I think that's Smarter Heating, smarterhomeheating.ca, smarterhomeheating.ca. Great website there. Another one, and I've been involved with folks at TRCA. Another one is the Ontario Clean Air Association, and they've done some great white papers on it. And there's some links actually to the work that they've done on the Smarter Home Heating website. So really trying to produce collateral that is third party. It's not the contractor saying you should do this. It's not necessarily the government saying you should do this. I think there's distrust in both of those sometimes. So looking for third parties that are interested in helping people in that decarbonization space. And in Ontario, like I said, where our electricity is super clean, going with the heat pump is a really easy way of doing it.
Very good. That's a great coverage of this topic and a great perspective and a unique one that sometimes our listeners don't get to hear. So I want to see if you have any closing thoughts to share.
Yeah, thanks. I think the most important piece for contractors, I'm assuming that's really the people we're talking to.
The bulk of the audience, sure. Yeah.
The bulk of the audience here is really to understand the motivation of the customer and to present them with their options and really driving that comfort piece first. How do we deliver them comfort at the lowest possible cost, knowing that we're not going to be usually top of mind unless there's a problem? And probably the best case scenario is it works and they never have to think about it. That's where most people are. Contractors really struggle getting out of their own heads. We think that everybody thinks about HVAC the way we do. Can guarantee you nobody else thinks about HVAC except us.
I get that reinforced all the time at home.
So what you're saying is we would be the nerds walking around going, ooh, look at the new heat pump.
Yeah.
Eric, I'll tell you briefly a funny story. I was with my wife. We went down to the Caribbean. We're in the airport. It's a beautiful day. I'm looking at the fabric duct. Like, wow, look at what they did here. Big open area. Look at this fabric duct. My wife's like, have you noticed the palm trees? Oh, yeah, okay, there's palm trees. We're in the Caribbean. But like, look at the ductwork.
You're not alone, my friend.
Very cool. Victor, thank you for coming on this morning and sharing with us these thoughts, especially about Canada's number one co-op of contractors.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity to be with you today.
Take care.
Be well. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in, listening in to the Building HVAC Science Podcast. One of our disclaimers here, we want to make sure that the topics we discuss sometimes require technical training for proper interpretation and safe execution. So if you're a trained pro, you can go right ahead. If you're not, please consult with and hire a trained pro. The Building HVAC Science Podcast is a production of TruTech Tools Limited. In full disclosure, I'm a co-owner of TruTech. And the opinions voiced are those of my guests, my co-host, or myself, depending on who is speaking, of course. If you're in the market for tools or test instruments mentioned in our podcast or just in general, if you're in the trade, in the field, take a look at what TruTech Tools, my company, offers. TRUTECHTOOLS.com. You can use the offer code HVACBS for a nice discount. I want to thank you for listening to the Building HVAC Science Podcast. Hope you're following us. Got us locked in. You've subscribed to us. Come on. You like this stuff, don't you? If you want to reach out and give us feedback on anything we say, anything we do, or you want some, lend us some ideas for some guests or topics to have, reach out at marketing@truetechtools.com, TRUTECHTOOLS.com. And thanks again for tuning in to the Building HVAC Science Podcast. Take care.